If you're able, stand with me in honor of the Word of God as I read Acts 3, 1 through 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. The word of God for the people of God.
You may be seated. Well, welcome everybody to Grace Harvest Church this morning. I was asking the question, what's going on in this story? Did you hear this morning, this story we have in Acts chapter 3? Is it about a lame man, a man who's been lame from birth being healed? Yes, it is. Is it about Peter and John, their ministry, their continued ministry, going to the temple to pray and encountering this man? It definitely is. It's about that. Is it about the people that saw at the end of the text and were amazed and filled with wonder? Yes, it's about them too. But it's something more too. It's about our natural world being invaded by the supernatural world. Amen. Like the true reality of God in heaven. Are you guys working on that sound? It's kind of echoing real loud, Micah. I don't know what it's doing. But this is what the book of Acts is about. It's about Jesus fulfilling his promise. Remember what he had said in Acts 1 when we started this journey in the book of Acts? But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. That's what's happening. They've received power to be witnesses. That's what's happening in the story. The Holy Spirit is still working through his people to magnify the name of Jesus. Amen? That's what centrally is happening with this story. And it happens in a certain location. They're still in Jerusalem. They're going to the temple in Jerusalem to pray. And it happens at a place called the Beautiful Gate. And that's mentioned twice in our 10 verses today, the Beautiful Gate. And that really stood out to me today. And I just titled this sermon, The Beautiful Gate. So what happens here at the Beautiful Gate? We've seen so far in our journey in Acts chapter 2, we spent a couple of weeks there. And today, by the way, is the celebration of the day of Pentecost. So in the church calendar, you know, basically that 50-day period after the resurrection of Jesus is the day of Pentecost. And so Acts 2 was right there. We celebrated that, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And so we talked about that. We talked about Peter's sermon. We talked about the 3,000 souls that were added to the church in one day. That was exciting. And then last week we looked at what the church does, the birth of the church. We looked at Acts 2:42, that they were centered around the apostles' teaching upon the word of God. They were in much fellowship and looked at that koinonia. We looked at the breaking of bread. But it also mentioned that they were continually, there was a continual devotion to prayer. And that's where Peter and John are going. They're going to the temple to pray. And it's the time of the evening prayer. They had morning prayer, kind of a noon prayer, then an evening prayer. And that was at 3 p.m., giving people time to go to the temple, pray, and get home before dark. You don't want to be traveling at dark. That could be dangerous in this culture. And so this was the time of the evening prayer. It's the setting. Peter and John, we see them together praying. So that's what's happening. Today, we're looking at this text. We're looking at how Peter and John act in compassion to this man who's been lame from birth. And he's begging, he's asking. This is how they survived and had sustenance for their living then. And we're asking ourselves, how do we look upon people like this? How do we respond to people in need? We're also looking at open doors to share the gospel to others. That's what Peter and John are looking for. Like, how can we be witnesses of Jesus, for Jesus? So they're doing that. We're going to ask that, look at that, and see their powerful prayer in the name of Jesus for this man. We'll also see the wonder and amazement of the crowd, right? It's gathered, the wonder, the amazement. Are we ever stirred by wonder still today? Amazement that Jesus is working in the earth today? We're going to ask ourselves that also, that wonder and amazement. So, compassion on those that are in need. Open doors, looking for open doors to present Jesus. Talk about Jesus, looking for open doors to present the gospel. That's number two. And then three, being filled with wonder and amazement. Okay, kind of the centering in on these verses, looking at those three things. So compassion on those in need. First, we see these ministers of the gospel, Peter and John, working together. Verse 1 says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour to pray. That's 3 p.m. So they're going to pray. It's Peter and John. You see a ministry team together here. And we've got to just take note of this relationship and kind of wonder a little bit about it, because you read about Peter and he's brash and he's off the cuff. He's leader of men, you know. And John seems to be this quiet, reflective guy. You can even read his gospel. It's very different. And they're teamed up. Isn't that the way the Holy Spirit works? And it puts one guy's loud talking, you know, and the other quiet guy reflective in the background, you know, praying. And so you see this Holy Spirit, you know, working, teaming up with different personalities all the time. You see this. The gifts of the Holy Spirit seem to work this way. But they're going to pray. They're going in an attitude of prayer, and God's doing. A lot of times it's when you're going, you know, that God's works and might direct you to different where you thought you were going to pray. You're going to do other things also. It's good to be looking for that opportunity when you're going, that God and the Holy Spirit might lead you in a different direction. So we look at this relationship, we look at them going to pray, and we look that that was a big part of the New Covenant Church, a devotion to prayer. This is the house of prayer. That's what Jesus said. This is my house, and my house shall be called a house of prayer. A place where prayer happens. A place where Scripture's taught. A place where people meet with God. Where we enjoy His presence. So we see that. And that's where they're going. And then Acts 3:2 it says, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple. That is called the Beautiful Gate. The first mention of this Beautiful Gate, our title. It's where it's going to happen, is at this Beautiful Gate. And they laid him there to ask alms of those entering the temple. Perfect place. You know, everybody funnels, comes in through this gate. They're going to encounter this man. And so it's a good place to be, to encounter a lot of people and hopefully gain some care for his life. So they're going to pray. They encounter this man who's being carried, who's lame, and notice from birth, so not just through an accident or something. When the Bible, you know, says that a lot, it's like, you know, implying even more like the man who was born blind, not just became blind. It's never been heard that a man born blind is healed. You know, maybe a man that came blind, maybe you've heard of some of that, but not born blind. So this is like he was born with this lameness. We see that in this person. And then he is there to ask for alms, for money. We see that. But in Acts 3:3-5, we see something. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. This is a real important part here on in talking with Shippen about our ministry to Johnny and Friends. They'll be going in a couple of weeks. Our church supports Johnny and Friends. We've had several training sessions here. Shippen's been going about different churches in the community and really in the whole district, as she's a district leader in Johnny and Friends, and doing trainings about how to minister to people with disabilities. And so that's happening. They're doing a huge camp, you know, out at Fort Lone Tree. Shippen and Rifle both go out there and serve. Hopefully one day I'm going to be the help, you know, do that. It hasn't worked out the last couple of years for me to go out there and help, be the pastor kind of over it and pray. But it's a way of ministering to people with disabilities. And one of the things they teach you in these trainings, which can be helpful to anybody, is that a lot of people have a lot of disabilities in a lot of different ways, not just noticeable ones. But they teach you how to fix your gaze upon them. Don't look away from them. It's one of the important things that I've learned in the training, is that you don't look away. And Peter and John must have already had this training by the Holy Ghost, because they're like, we're not going to look the way, oh, there's a guy begging at the door, let's go over here. You know, they walked right up to this man. They're gonna talk to him. They're going to encounter. They're going to look at him. They're going to make eye contact. They're going to recognize this person, okay? Very, very important. Peter and John stop. And really, there's this, you see this stopping. We're going to pray. We got to be in there the third hour of prayer. Bye. See you. Go around. Go in with the crowd. Sneak over here. No. They're going to stop doing whatever they're doing and at least recognize this person. We don't know exactly what's going on internally, what God's telling, you know, Peter and John inside, like, I'm going to do something. We don't know all that, but we do know they stop. We do know there's eye contact. We do know there's a gaze here. They fix their gaze on this man. They start looking like, maybe this man wants to be healed. Holy Spirit, you think you're going to heal this guy again? This would have been somebody Jesus walked by going into the temple all the time. They were, you know, most likely, he was there every day. They laid him there. You know, they'd probably seen him there too when they'd gone in and out of the temple. They laid him there daily, it says. Anyway, something's happening in this encounter, though, on this day, unique. And today, we're encountering people the same way out in the world. We're encountering people. We're either avoiding them, or we're looking at them, or we're pausing and we're looking at them and looking for an open door to pray for them. And it's amazing how many people, even lost people, people who really don't want anything to do with God, and they start talking about, I said, we don't need to pray for you. About, I think almost every time I've done that, they go, yeah, go ahead, sure. You know, in any kind of circumstance, you know. Oh, man, I'm sorry you're having that. Can I pray for you? Yeah. Open doors, stopping to look at people, make contact with them, make eye contact with them, not in such a hurry. Any situation, you can pray for somebody quickly, you know. And so looking for that, that's Holy Spirit-led. That's what's Peter going on here. So Peter speaks up in Acts 3:6-7. But Peter said, he's asking for alms. He's fixing his gaze back on them. They're looking at him. Look at us. He fixes his gaze on them. He gives them his attention. real connection there. He's like expecting to get alms, you know. But Peter said, I have no silver and gold. That's what he's looking for. I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. What does Peter have? It's the power of the Holy Spirit anointing him to magnify Jesus. He has the mighty name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's what he has. The living, resurrected Lord. It's alive, raised from the dead, that's still alive today. I'll tell you what I have. It's not silver and gold, but he tells him. He's the fixed gaze. His attention's on him. He says, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And man, it must have, boom, hit this guy. He's like, maybe he had heard about Jesus. Maybe he had walked around, he had healings, you know. Something, Holy Spirit, powerful, all what was happening there. We don't know, but faith fills this man. And he receives this. And then verse 7 says, and he took him, Peter, by the right hand and raised him up. And immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. It's not money, Peter says, but what I do have, I give to you. And it's something much better than silver and gold. It's the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. That's what I give to you. That's the power. It brings the healing, but it's much more than just that physical healing. I'm giving you the mighty name of Jesus. Yes, God cares for our physical bodies. Yes, he heals this man. But something much more is given to this man when he receives the mighty name and faith in that mighty name of Jesus. He rises up and walks, and his ankles immediately receive feet and ankles strength. He's healed. And do we look at people and see people, see their need, pray in faith for people like this? We need to. We don't need to expect little tiny things from God all the time. Expect big things from God. Let him speak to us. And speak and pray big things for people. And at least make eye contact with them and pray for them and show compassion to them. You don't know what God's going to do when you do that. You're opening up doors for him to work. We need to be this kind of people. So what happens in Acts 3:8? And leaping up, he stood and began to walk. And he, first thing he does is he enters into the temple. He's at the gate. He's never got to go in. There was a lot of restrictions to lame, blind, disabled, Leviticus, under the law. And so he's not only restored physically, he's restored socially. He can, like, go into the temple. Ha-ha, you can't keep me out. Look, now I'm 100%. 100%. No defect. You know, because if there's a defect, you couldn't come in, you know. It was just one of those things under the law. So he goes in. He's restored. The depth of the healing is just all around, physically, socially, spiritually, supernaturally. God has encountered this man, and he's leaping up. He stood, began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping. I just throw a little leap in there every now and then. Look at this! Strong legs, a little leaping, praising God. He's giving praise to God, which is really interesting. He's not like, sure, he's like loving on Peter and John, you know, and thank you, you know, but he's not. It's about, he knows it's not Peter and John. He knows it's the name of Jesus. He knows God has done something. The attention isn't on just, you know, Peter and John and them, you know. That's really important, that this glory is to God. And we're saved, you know, in the mighty name of Jesus. We're saved by his grace. We're a grace-filled people. We're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. The scripture alone describes that. And we give all glory, the five solos, to God alone. In the end, it's all about God's glory, about praise to God. Glory to God. And that's what happens with this man born from birth lame. He gives praise and glory to God. Romans 11:36, this great kind of ending of 11. Romans 11, this praise, that this doxology that goes on from the Apostle Paul to God, ends in verse 36, for says, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Boy, that is the end of all things. His glory will cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. All glory. This man went leaping and jumping and glorifying and praising God in the temple. It's just a beautiful, beautiful scene. So what's happening in Acts 3, 9, and 10? It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. They saw him in the temple. They're like, they recognized him as the one, verse 10 says, who sat at the beautiful gate. Again, the mention, that's the man that sat daily at the beautiful gate. Every time I came here, they laid him there at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. That's him. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Being filled with wonder and amazement of God. Have you ever been filled with the wonder and amazement of God? If you're a believer and a Christian, you have. You see, this story is about this miracle of this healing of this lame man. But it's much more than that. It's much more than, like I've said, than the physical healing. It's about the wonder and amazement of the power of God. The wonder and amazement that's in the power of the name of Jesus of Nazareth. It's the wonder and amazement that the one who was once crucified, dead, and buried has been resurrected and has ascended to the right hand and is exalted. It's about Jesus, about his mighty wonder-working power. It's about his amazing grace to save a wretch like me. That's what it's about. That's what Acts is going to be about. The Holy Spirit magnifying the name of Jesus, that he is alive. They're eyewitnesses of the resurrected Jesus, that he's alive and he's living. And that's what they're doing. They're testifying of Jesus through the powerful anointing of the Holy Spirit. It's a wonder. They're like wondering, how can this be true? By whose power? By what power has this miracle occurred? They're not just like, oh, it's a man and he's jumping. And he's healed. But what's happened? How? Who? By what name? By whose authority? How has this happened? This is the wonder that filled them, and it still fills us today. Like, how can this beautiful scene be true? And that answer is really clear in verse 6. Peter said, I have no silver and gold, but what I have I do give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And all that Jesus is, all that Jesus and his character and everything that Jesus is in his name, who he is, rise up and walk. And Jesus is in, through, and for everything is about him, all of life. That's the name in him, rise up and walk. That's the wonder of his name. That's the beauty of his name. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. How wonderful is your name? How beautiful is your name? At the beautiful gate, you have met this man and healed him with the power of your name. And it's just being filled with the wonder of Jesus, the wonder of his grace, the wonder of him saying, I still think of him saving me. I think of praying and being on my knees and my dad putting his hand on the back of my neck and praying that prayer. And I think in saving a wretch like me, delivering me from my sin, saving me from death, hell, and the grave, you know, and just the love and the amount of peace and the joy amidst all of the different circumstances of my life that he's been near me. And I just think it's so wonderful. He is wonderful. He is the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the mighty God, the everlasting Father. He is this beautiful gate. He is actually the beautiful gate. He is Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He is the temple of God. Think of this. Jesus is the true temple of God. They're going into the temple, but where and who is the real temple? Thinking of that glory and the glory of the temple, how precious it was. It was everything to them. It had been restored. Herod put a lot of money rebuilding it, making it, restoring a lot of its future, former glory. And in John 2, there's this story about the temple. The Jews said to him, what sign do you show us in doing these things? After he cleared the temple and said, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and he drove people out, you're making it a den of robbers. And they said, well, how can you do this, Jesus? And he says this to them. Well, they say, what sign do you give us that you have the authority to do this? And in John 2:18 and then 19, Jesus responds and answers them, and he says, destroy this temple. He's in the temple. And in 3 days, I'll raise it up. He says it like that. You going to understand that or not? Well, they don't, like they don't understand all kinds of things. In verse 21, but he was speaking, it says, they say, the Jews said, it's taken us 46 years to build this temple. That's a long time of a remodeling project. How long are your remodel projects? Mine's going on a couple of months now, but it ain't 46 years, praise God. But theirs was 46 years. It's taken us 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? Huh. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Destroy this temple. They're looking around at the temple. He's talking about the temple of his body, and in 3 days I'll raise it up again. And John gets this later when he's writing this, and he said, when therefore he was raised from the dead in John 2:22, his disciples remembered that he had said this. They didn't get it either. What are you talking about? But later they do. The Holy Spirit brings the wisdom. It says, and they remembered he had said this, and they believed the scripture and the word that Jesus had spoken. The true and complete temple, the presence of God where it would abide, is in his son Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, that's where God's presence, and that's where you would encounter God's presence, is only through Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other way to encounter God other than Jesus. He is the temple where you meet with God. He is the beautiful gate of the temple, the entrance into it. He is the one, John said in John 1, he is full of grace and truth. John 1:14 and 16-17, the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, glory as the only son from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see this beauty of Jesus, full of grace and truth. John is just saying, have you seen him, the word made flesh, the one full of grace and truth? Grace is so beautiful, truth is so beautiful. He's full of both of those. He's this beautiful gate, the word of God made flesh. And then it says, for from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. That's what's happening today. Grace upon grace is being poured out upon this man born lame. It's being poured out on Peter and John. They get to enjoy the joys of ministry, bringing the name of Jesus. Next week we'll look at Peter's second sermon he's going to preach out of the result of this. But right now we see grace upon grace. We see John 1:17, for the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. We see this beauty of his grace. And then John 10, there's this word here where Jesus says, I am the door in the ESV. There's some translations that say, I am the gate. And the word in the Greek is thyra, and it means both. Both is a very accurate translation. Thyra, of the Greek word, can be door or gate. We're talking about the beautiful gate. You know, so, and for a sheep pen, makes more sense to me. It's a gate, you know, than a door, you know. But anyway, you can translate it any way. Any way is accurate. But it's in this sense, in John 10:2-4, he says, but he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Who enters by the gate, to him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by his name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Have you heard the voice of Jesus? John 10:9-11, he says, I am the gate. Jesus said that. I am the door. I would say today, Jesus saying, I am the beautiful gate into the temple, and my body is that temple. This is it. I am the door. I am the gate, John 10:9. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and go in and out and find pasture. This is real life. This is true life, finding pasture.
The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. That's what he's going to say. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. That's a beautiful gate. Man that lays down his life for the sheep. Man, leader, the author of life, laying down his life for wretches like me and like you. That's beautiful. It's the beautiful story, the beautifulest gate in all of the world. Have you heard the voice of Jesus calling you? Have you repented of your sins and believed and put your trust in the gospel? If yes, then you're living a life in wonder and amazement. You're living a life, an abundant life. You're living a life with a man full of grace and truth. You're living a life of grace upon grace, and it doesn't matter what you're going through or what you're facing. Your eyes are not fixed on your sorrows. You will have them. Your eyes are not fixed on your troubles. You will have them. Your eyes are fixed on the one who is full of grace and truth. And your life is lived fixed on amazement and wonder, not on the troubles and the darkness of this world. It's living in another reality of what is really true. And when that invades the world like it did in this story today, it invades the reality of heaven coming to earth. And it says, this is my kingdom, and this is what it will be forever. Live in that reality. And I'm telling you, you'll start walking. You'll start leaping. And you'll start praising God and giving him glory, even in the midst of difficult, hard things in life that come against us. This is the man, Jesus. This is the name of the Jesus of Nazareth. This is the beautiful gate. And we're going to sing praise to his name. So our opportunity is, all glory be to Christ. Here's our song, all glory to be to Christ in closing. Should nothing of our efforts stand, no legacy survive, unless the Lord does raise the house, in vain its builders strive. To you who boast tomorrow's gain, tell me, what is your life? A mist that vanishes at dawn? All glory be to Christ. All glory be to Christ, our King. All glory be to Christ. His rule and reign will ever sing. All glory be to Christ. You guys want to sing that together and mean it in your heart? Like, yeah, glory to him. Glory to Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what we're going to sing in closing. We're going to offer up the communion table here, and we're going to take the Lord's Supper together. And if you're visiting and you've put your trust, you've repented of your sins, and you've believed in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, you're welcome to come and join us in communion. It'll be a cup with the two cups together. The bread is in the bottom and the grape juice is in the top. Come and receive that. Return to your seat and we'll pray over it and take the Lord's Supper. And we'll remember the body given for us, Jesus. We'll remember his blood shed for us. We'll remember the Lord's death until he returns. Amen? So please come and receive communion. I'm not for sure where Rifle went. In the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and he gave thanks to the Father. Thank you, Father, for the bread. This is the body of Christ. Thank you, Father. He took the bread and gave thanks to the Father, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Let us partake of the bread together." Thank you, Jesus, for willingly giving up your body for us. What the wonder of your sacrificial love for us, that our King would die for us. The King of all glory, the King of all creation, our Lord and the risen Christ. We praise you and thank you, Lord. In like manner, he took the cup. He said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, given for you for the remission of sins. Take and drink of it. When you do, do this in remembrance of me, and remember my death until I come." Let us partake of the cup together. Thank you, Jesus, for willingly going to the cross. You could have called a legion of angels, but you didn't. He willingly suffered and died upon the cross, shedding your innocent blood for us guilty sinners, that the wrath of God upon us and our sin might be removed and move us into a right relationship with God the Father and restore us into peace with God. We praise you and thank you for this, Father. Knowing our hearts to sing together in this closing song, let us truly make much of the name of Jesus and honor him from our hearts to worship in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, anoint our song, anoint our singing together, Lord. Let us magnify your name in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing.